Hi, I'm Doug Gordon, and you're listening to Beta on Wisconsin Public Radio.
Set and action. And the dragons pass over you. And off they go, and they bank left. They get further and further away. That light slowly disappearing. And now there are none. But what you can hear is a very, very low rumble.
The fantasy phenomenon Game of Thrones has come to an end after 8 seasons. Filmmaker Jeanie Finley had the rare honor of documenting the final season. Embedded with the cast and crew, she gives us an up-close, intimate, behind-the-scenes look into all of the blood, sweat, and tears that went into the production. We caught up with Jeanie while she was in Belfast for a film fest, where she told us how she landed this once-in-a-lifetime job. And spoiler alert, we do reveal the ending of Game of Thrones during our conversation.
I got a mysterious email from an Irish producer just saying HBO are going to be in touch tomorrow. Take the call. So it was very mysterious and intriguing. So I took the call and it was 3 people from Game of Thrones. I sort of Googled them and I was like, well, it's something to do with Game of Thrones. I wonder what this is about. And so I just chatted to them about how I would make a documentary. You know, I've made 6 feature, at that point I'd made 6 feature documentaries, I've now made 8. And I just told them how I would approach a subject matter. You know, I'm not always the biggest, you know, I wasn't like a walking encyclopedia of Game of Thrones as lots of people are. But it's such a sort of pop culture behemoth.
Oh yeah.
You can't ignore the impact of Game of Thrones. So I was immediately sort of like, the intriguingness of it just immediately made my ears prick up and just think, what's this?
Yeah. So why do you think HBO picked you? They must have been impressed with your previous documentaries.
I think the thing was, the more I was myself and the more that I described my approach, you know, I'm into observing a situation and seeing what happens. And I'm into film. I'm really interested in like small moments. And I'm interested in not always the loudest characters. Like, I'm allergic to show-offs. So I'm very, very interested in people who may not have spoken on camera before. And I was really into this sort of idea of unsung heroes. And you think you know a world, but who are the cogs that are making this wheel turn? You know, and also I was very intrigued in the idea that Game of Thrones is coming to an end. So it had like an emotional destination and I could really feel that all season long. There was a lot of people taking a moment to sort of think about, oh my goodness, well, what does this mean?
My heart is in my throat when I think about this not happening much longer. Putting this on, it genuinely gets me really like, oh!
You spent most of the last watch following producers and crew members making the magic of Game of Thrones happen, and we get a good sense of the dedication to craft and the incredible attention to detail. Why did you choose to take this approach?
Game of Thrones already has a really well-established behind-the-scenes team that follow every single episode, and so their approach is big cameras, sit-down interviews with questions that are written, you know, 2 weeks before the interview. And my approach was, can we find some people that you've not met before and get to know them over a season?
Right.
You know, there's a crew of 2,000 people making Game of Thrones, so it seemed important to me that we had some of the cast in it, but that it wouldn't always be focused on cast. It was, for me, it was really important that everyone really earned their place. So they had to have an unfurling story. So it seemed really obvious to me that Kit and Amelia would be in my film because they crossed over with Candice and what she was doing in the hair department. And also Andrew McLay's story hinges on his favourite character, Jon Snow. So it made narrative sense. I tried not to get too distracted by fan service.
Yeah.
And to just treat this like I would any other documentary that I make. Everything has to earn its place.
Right. Your approach makes perfect sense. It's in keeping with your philosophy of small stories. And as you mentioned, Andrew McLay, who plays one of the Stark guards, and he ends up being one of the stars of your film. How did he become such a big part of the film?
Well, you see me meeting him on camera.
If you said come in a bit later on, there's a guy called Andrew McClay who has been a Stark Guard every single year, and he's obsessed with the whole show. And yeah, I think it'd be really cool if you just got to meet him. He'd be so excited.
Hey, what?
Hey, Fred.
Hat man.
Are you Andrew?
I am.
You're the person I'm here to see. I'm Jeannie. I'm making a documentary about Game of Thrones this year.
Okay.
For a whole year.
Okay.
I was wondering if I could please follow your fitting.
Excellent.
It was really important to me that we sort of reveal the shaky camera of me sort of meeting him, because it was that immediate. And when I met him, it's like falling in love. You know, sometimes I'm looking, I don't want to say casting, but I spent the first sort of four to six months of the filmmaking really thinking about who was going to be on camera.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we going to meet in the film? And when I met Andrew, it was just absolutely immediate. He's funny and charismatic.
Very much
so,
yeah.
He's got an amazing face.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's so funny. He's just genuinely brilliant to be around.
Do you know what club sandwich means? Chicken and lettuce under bacon. That's what that is. I didn't know
chicken
that.
Chicken and lettuce, oh, it's an acronym.
Yeah, chicken and lettuce under bacon.
You learn something new every day.
Boom, every day's a school day, brother.
Rolling!
And a lot of people are very used to seeing the grand scale and what they're doing. They take it in their stride. And the good thing about Andy was he never took it in his stride.
Yeah.
In a really charming and delightful way.
Yeah, exactly. Very well said indeed. Yeah. You caught some incredibly intimate moments with the actors, perhaps none more powerful than when actor Kit Harington, who plays Jon Snow, finds out the ending of the show in real time during a table read. What was your experience in dealing with the actors like?
It was really fascinating watching Kit experiencing that in real time. I'd got a heads up that he hadn't read it. And so I was like, oh, hello, this is going to be great.
We see John with his hand still on the hilt of the dagger he just lodged in Danny's heart. Her strength leaves her and she collapses to the marble. He keeps her in his arms and she falls, kneeling down to the floor beside her. He looks down at what he's done, terrible and necessary. End of Game of Thrones.
And for a while, I wasn't going to be able to film the table read. And there was some discussion about, oh, it's not possible. We can't do this. So I sat down with David and Dan and I just sort of said, I'm not going to ask you for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But when I do come and ask you for stuff, you need to listen. And I said, you got to let me film the table read. You have to. Just trust me, it'll be great.
Yeah.
So we sort of agreed that I wouldn't roam around too much. I wouldn't distract people. It was wild sort of filming it because I was filming Conleth and Amelia. So that was my side. And then my cameraman Mark was filming Kit. So I was too nervous to capture Kit properly. So I made Mark film that side. And then as people relaxed, we just sort of wandered around and...
Yeah.
saw stuff, and I think it was the first time that everyone really realised that it's going to finish. Because when I think Dan says end of Game of Thrones, there was this really emotional atmosphere of, oh my goodness, it is going to end.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to finish.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of really occurred to me, oh my goodness, what is it like to hear that you've died? The character that you've known and loved for almost 10 years, what does that feel like? So I wanted to sort of linger on those moments. To me, there's been a lot of discussion online that, oh, it's about anger and reaction to the writing. To me, in the room, it felt very different to that. It felt like sadness of saying goodbye to part of yourself. It felt like grieving.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how it comes across. Yeah, it's a very powerful scene in the film. Do you have a favorite scene or moment in the film? Is it the table read or is it something else?
The table read, I think, is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's exciting and I was glad we got it. But I sort of figured I knew how that might turn out when we were filming it.
Mm-hmm.
I love like Kit wearing his extras jacket and just seeing how excited Andrew McClay was, because it's all unpredictable. And I think the best things in a documentary are when things sort of take you by surprise and you feel like you're watching the finished film.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, when we were in Seville And we'd been filming with Kit going through that crowd of fans. And I found it quite overwhelming because I was in the back of the car filming Kit.
Mm-hmm.
And people were banging on the car.
When all the Spanish fans shout Kit, they shout Keith, Keith. So the rest of the cast have now dubbed me Keith.
Keith, Keith,
Keith.
Keith, 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 Keith.
I just really got the sense that you can't turn fame off. And I love Vlad the Night King's story.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is this just humble, humble stuntman who's doing the work, who's a shadow in the background. And now he's the most visible villain in the world. Yet people still don't know him. And that to me is delicious. That's a delicious story.
I would like to see if they recognize who I am, you know? you know who I am?
Yeah! You know, Vlad's really humble. So him sort of saying, shall we go and see what, if they recognize me,
mm-hmm.
and he's quite mischievous.
Yeah.
And you can see it running through his mind like, oh my goodness, I wonder if they know who I am. Of course they know who he is.
Yeah.
He's the Night King. But he's so charming and then doesn't quite know what to do with himself because he's not practiced at doing that.
No.
For me, that was just, it was so perfect.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the highlights of the film. What were your thoughts on the way the final season played out, given your unique perspective of being around for its production?
It's weird for me, really, because I still feel too close to it. Mm-hmm. So since the final season went out, obviously my film broadcast a week after. So, you know, I watched the final episode in my hotel room with Alice Powell, who edited my film, and Hannah Peel, who scored my film. So we watched it together, but we're sort of watching it, I don't know, it sort of feels like we're watching home movies. You know, we're cheering when Andy gets a close-up and looking out for my daughter because she was a wildling extra in the final scene. So I was just sort of watching it for that. So I feel like I've got no distance from it at all. So I'm fantasizing about going on holiday and I'm going to watch the final season again. And just to sort of watch it properly, really.
Yeah, you mentioned that your documentary premiered a week after the series finale. Were you worried at all that the show's kind of lost momentum in terms of the controversy about the ending of the series, that would impact the reception of your documentary?
I mean, I would be lying if I said no.
Mm-hmm.
I'd been watching... I'm really into memes, so I'd be looking at a lot of
And there's a Game of memes. Thrones. It's like there's a whole Game of Thrones meme industrial complex, yes.
Oh, it's amazing. So yeah. I was watching a lot of memes, but a lot of them were so mean about the showrunners.
Yeah.
And a lot of really unrealistic expectations. Oh, they should have done it in so many extra episodes. Are you kidding me? Do you know how much an episode costs?
Yeah.
There was a lot of unrealistic things and people complaining about Ghost wasn't petted and then he gets a pet in the final season.
Mm-hmm.
I read some stuff that fans were saying, oh, they responded to fan outcry. It's like, are you kidding? Do you know the months of work it does to have a direwolf doing anything?
Yeah.
So anyway, I was petrified, mm-hmm. I've got to say. And we'd had a public screening in a cinema in Belfast. And then it was airing worldwide. So I sat up with my husband and I sort of said, we should watch this because we'll never get this back. It's going out in 180 countries.
Yeah.
But I said, I'm not looking. So he looked at the internet, he looked at Twitter. And then people started making memes of my film and it just felt like the ultimate validation.
So with that, there's a Game of Thrones rap and our good friend, Jacob Anderson, Liam Cunningham and Kit Harington.
Yeah.
Near the end of The Last Watch, the question of what it was like for the cast and crew of Game of Thrones to say goodbye to the show comes up. What do you think the answer is? What sense did you get, like, based on the footage you got and observing all this? How did they feel? It seemed to me like they was going to kind of be in an identity crisis, losing a big part of their life, not to have this be involved in this show anymore.
I think it's challenging. I was, Vladimir came to Sheffield Documentary Festival a couple of days ago, and we were all at dinner and we were sort of talking about what it's like to end. And he said, you know, you have to have a ball to catch. He said, sometimes when you're in the thick of it, you just think, I want this to end. I never want to do it again. But he said, give it a month and then you're like, what's the next job? What am I doing next? And you have to be able, you have to have something that's outside of your life, outside of filming. You know, and I appreciate that as a filmmaker. You've got to have other interests and be able to do stuff. I was really touched when I was filming Amelia on her last day. And I think she was really generous with allowing us to see her quite so vulnerable. She'd never allowed anyone to even photograph her with her bald cap on before.
I'm not sure this wig's got much more life left in it.
Neither is the front. Neither is the head underneath it, so. Oh, it's the last time.
That's the last time.
Oh, that's really weird.
And those moments of quiet when she's just sort of saying, you know, who am I without this? I wonder. And I just sort of felt like, yeah, I wonder too. And I think it will take a while for them all to land. But yeah, imagine playing, you know, one of the most iconic, famous roles in the world. What next?
Jeannie Finley is a documentary filmmaker and the director of Game of Thrones, The Last Watch. You can find out more about Jeannie at wpr.org/beta. That does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Raphael Bob Waxberg, Hanif Abdurraqib, and Jeannie Finley. If you want to hear this episode again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta podcast via iTunes or wherever you catch your favorite pods. You can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
That's just flavor to a high life man.
Special thanks to producer Brad Colbert.
If this was a real thing, why would Brad call you and not me?
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
That went slightly better than the worst it could have possibly gone, so hooray.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
I'm a Ryan Seacrest type.
And thanks to you, our Alphas. Until next week, I'm Doug Gordon.
Is it just me or am I nailing this interview? I kind of feel like I'm nailing it.